I speak to you in God's holy name, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Our readings are today are very much in line with our series that we've been following in this season of Pentecost. For in this season of Pentecost, we're working to look at how we take the love of God that is for us and resides within us and how we apply it every day in our daily lives. For Pentecost is a season of learning and doing and being enabled and empowered to live the Christian life in the midst of the world of 2018 and beyond. And so the message today is that there is love in the world, that God provides love. We see it in the simple love song of the first reading, which Carol read for us. And in the second reading, we see that we are to apply our own values as Christians and not just mouth them, but live them. And Jesus is even more forceful. It's what comes out of us that defiles our actions as opposed to what goes into us that defiles. Though I'm sure Jesus would be happy to have you wash your vegetables from the market. But it's really important that we think about this greater message, especially as we live today. And I want to talk about something that is distorting the Christian message and distorting the message of a good society. For we saw the love which was portrayed from the Song of Solomon, and we need to see that sense of love and carefreeness in our everyday world. And the thing that's going on around us right now is something that is distorting and upsetting and turning good Canadians against each other, good Americans against each other. It is a blight in our society. There's a battle going on right now of what to believe, of what is true in our society, what is truth and what isn't. And there's a great distortion going on by people wanting to tell you falsehoods and saying that it's true and saying that the truth you know to be true is false. And it's very confusing, and we need to be aware of it. And this idea of trying to destroy the concept of truth, which is foundational to our democratic society and to being a member of the church, is called, in a simple word, gaslighting. There's a lot of gaslighting going on, and I want to talk about that this morning, for we as Christians must be aware of it as we live our lives in the marketplace of the world around us. Here's the definition of gaslighting. It is the attempt of one person or group of persons to overwrite another person's reality. It is a tactic used for gaining power and control. The term gaslighting comes from a 1938 play and a 1944 film called Gaslight, starring Ingrid Bergman, in which her husband would secretly dim the gaslight, but when she commented on it, he insisted that she must be crazy, and he convinced others she was insane. Thus, gaslighting is a form of manipulation through persistent denial, misdirection, contradiction, and lying in an attempt to destabilize and delegitimize a person or a group of people. Gaslighting. And we see it going on right now in this week. I know that many of us are concerned about the free trade agreement because we know that trade is forms a backbone of our economic security in our country. But right now we have the President of the United States claiming falsely that Canada is not the second largest trading partner, but Mexico is. And this kind of distortion is going on all the time. And it's upsetting. We have to be prepared to look at what's going on and see it for what it is. I remember back 40 years ago, I was a freelancer for CBC. And I was living in Prince Edward Island in Summerside. And when I would have to post a story, I had to have 4 verifiable sources before that story would go to air. And my editor would check these sources, or could check the sources. And I had to have them and give him or her the source. And that standard is still maintained. But there are many sources of broadcast that don't have that requirement. And a lot of opinion, much like the Pharisees were doing with Jesus, is going on right now in our own society, and is distorting people's sense of reality. And we have to be careful. The underlying message of a gaslighter is always this: what you know to be true is not true. What you know to be true is not true. And it's done to manipulate, to confuse, to upset, and to overturn and get somebody to believe what they want to believe so that they have their way and what you know to be true is somehow discarded. I know when I worked in the criminal justice system as a chaplain, we saw that kind of gaslighting when criminals would try to groom a victim and tell them something that was not true in order to get them to come their way. We called it grooming. It was done mainly in child sex offenses, but it also happened in scams and lots of other things. But it's now come into the public media, and where we have people of power doing this intentionally to upset people. And we see whole swaths of Christians who are well-meaning and good people having their minds distorted by what I call gaslighting. It's a serious thing. There are 5 things to know about gaslighting. Here's the first one. Gaslighting requires a belief that it is acceptable to overwrite another person's reality. So you may know something to be true, but somebody is going to come and use their power and influence to try to tell you that it's not true, that it's just distorted. And that is gaslighting. Another thing is that gaslighting has a goal of actually changing who someone is. It's not just a behavior. That our attitudes, instead of following Jesus and following the principles of Christian faith, of love and caring and restitution and reconciliation, instead we believe that they're all out to get us. Instead of being people of love, we get the idea we're supposed to be people of fear. And that, again, is a manipulation, and it's intentional as a part of gaslighting. Gaslighting doesn't always involve anger or intimidation. It can. But bullying, because it is a form of bullying, can take many forms. And it can be very subtle. You know, remember years ago when people used to try to sell you a car that was useless? In a way, that grooming of you was gaslighting. It doesn't always have to be with intimidation. It can be through cunning. Gaslighters accuse the victim of being the bully. We see a case in point right now. In the United States, in the state of Florida, there's a black man that's nominated to run for the Democratic Party. His Republican opponent, a white man, referred to him in a slanderous way. The black man responded, and now the white man is saying, I'm being bullied by this man who I've already victimized by saying he was a nigger, basically. That, again, is another form of gaslighting. So you bully someone, and then you sort of claim that you're now a victim, even though you're the bully. And you'll see that happening a lot in the public press. And the last thing I want to say on that is gaslighters engage in victim in a hamster wheel of illogical arguing, and it sucks up a lot of emotional time and energy. You can see it happening. I've had debates about Christianity with people, and it's amazing how much energy and time it can take. And I know I've talked to some lawyers about talking to people who deal with this concept that they are people of the land and they don't want to pay their taxes. They don't want to be full participants in the society. And the lawyers tell me that when these people come in, it's just like craziness. The person is in a hamster wheel and tries to put you in that hamster wheel. And you've all encountered it probably in various places in the public marketplace. So what do you do with this gaslighting? We don't just sit back and take it. What are we as Christians, people of faith, to do? First of all, I invite us that when you feel that's happening, have a silent time of prayer. And know that the Holy Spirit will be with you as you try to proclaim the truth, based on the teachings that you know to be true, that Jesus loves you, that God loves you. You do not have to be afraid. That as a person of faith, you are steadfast. You know that God will never, ever abandon you. The next thing to do is when you feel that you are being attacked, that someone is trying to manipulate you, gaslight you, name it. And just say to that person who's going at you, look, stop gaslighting me. Don't do it. I'm on to you. Just name it out. You're telling me a lie and trying to pretend it's the truth. Well, I know the truth is different. And just name it. Stand up there and handle it. Don't enable it. This is the third thing. Shut it down. We as Christians sometimes, and I'm guilty of this myself, try to be so caring that I want to listen and I want to process with the person. But there comes a point where it's okay to say, look, enough. You're just crazy making. This is not real. This is not, has no foundation in reality. You cannot back up your statements with independent, the checkable resources. It's like talking to somebody who says there's no such thing as climate change. They say, I don't believe in climate change. Well, I don't believe in it either. It's a proven fact, and I can show you the data. Shut it down. Check with people you trust. If you find that you are someone's trying to do brainwashing with you, gaslighting, find other people and say, you know, this guy is on my case saying this, this, and this. What do you think about that? And if you trust that person, say, tell me straight. And they say, well, you know, that's bizarre. Well, then take that. It is bizarre. Listen and believe those who are confiding in you, how they're feeling and what they're experiencing. If somebody comes to you who you know and is coming with a concern, saying, you know, so-and-so is trying to say this to me. It often happens when you get a visit, say, from the Jehovah's Witness. They also gaslight. They will tell you up is down and down is up. Just listen and then go and check it out. And say, I'm having this visit from the Jehovah's Witness. When somebody comes to you with that knowledge, with that experience, don't just poo-poo them. Take it seriously and listen to them, because they're coming to you for help. It's important. And this gaslighting can come from many directions. Help others to differentiate and find communities of resistance. Help others to self-differentiate. Help a person find out and love and enjoy who they are. Just celebrating who they are inside. And making them feel good about who they are. Affirm them. Don't minimize their experience. And lastly, as persons of faith, use every spiritual and religious resource available. It is okay to talk to a Christian neighbor. It's okay to talk to me. It's okay to say, to bring this in prayer to God. Gaslighting is a cancer in our society today. It is attacking the foundations of our Christian faith. It's attacking the foundations of our civil society. It's attacking our trust in being citizens of a democracy. To me, it's critically important that we start to really name it and to be aware of it. I've written a paper that's going to go online today in the Vicar's Voice about gaslighting in the age of Trump. And I've printed out some copies of this for those of you who don't access the computer. So if you want the resource piece, you have it. I feel moved by God, the Holy Spirit, to share this with you. I know we don't normally talk about political stuff, but it's more than just politics. It's about keeping our society healthy. And I pray today that as we receive the sacrament, we have the presence of Jesus within us, that we do not let the words of the Pharisees in our midst take us away from who we are as members of the body of Christ. May God bless us all. Amen.